Will you turn to Luke 3, please? Luke chapter 3. Jesus and prayer in Luke. God never does nothing. Most days, I read a few pages from the Old Testament and a few pages from the New Testament. Since July, I've been reading Genesis in the Old Testament, as you would expect, and I've been reading Luke in the New Testament. Luke's Gospel has more about prayer than the other Gospels. I already knew that, but by the time I got to the end of Luke this time, this topic, prayer, was calling me. And so I spent some time rereading the prayer parts of Luke's Gospel. And this sermon is where that took me. In short, God never just says no. We have all prayed for things that did not happen, and sometimes we've prayed many times for those things and they did not happen. And I assume that. It's my story. I will not try to change your mind. God did not do what we asked for. Plain and simple. I've got many stories like that, and you do. So Luke is convinced, though, and Jesus in Luke is convinced, that when we pray, God always responds with something good from him. So we're going to go through several stories quite quickly, and then we'll slow down a bit toward the end. Prayer after baptism, Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were being baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." As Jesus was praying, God acted, and impressively too. Heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended, and the Father spoke out loud. What was Jesus praying? We don't know. Did God give Jesus what he was asking? Well, probably, but we don't know what he was saying, and we don't know that. Apparently, it's not important to tell us what he was praying. We don't need to know. What we do need to know is that Jesus was praying, and while he was praying, God responded like this. God acted. And that much is clear, and that's what we should see. My next story is from Luke chapter 5, prayer and ministry. Three things on the move. Prayer and ministry. Three things on the move. So this is Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Three kinds of motion keep happening. One, news about Jesus, the report about Jesus, keeps going out. Two, crowds of people keep coming. They keep gathering to hear his teaching and to be healed of diseases. And three, Jesus often leaves to lonely places so he could pray. So the news goes out, the people come in, and Jesus often leaves it all to pray. What's he asking for? We don't know. Why does he keep leaving to pray? We don't know. The teaching and the healing seem to be going well. There's not any problem there. His life sounds full. Prayer must be restful, but he's not leaving to rest. It doesn't say that. He's leaving to pray. Doesn't seem to be on a schedule. He's not doing this twice a day or at a certain time. He just regularly needs to be in prayer, like eating or sleeping. And it seems like he can feel it, and he leaves successful ministry to pray. And then he comes back and does more teaching and healing, and it keeps going around like that. Our third text, prayer all night. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke 6:12, prayer all night. One of those days, Jesus went out into a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Jesus spent the night praying to God. Again, it does not say what he asked. Did you notice that? We assume he's asking for wisdom. Is this the time to choose messengers? Should he choose 12? That's a loaded number because of Israel's 12 tribes. Who should he choose? Maybe the father wants ones that Jesus doesn't want, and there's a discussion, and Jesus has to submit. Whatever Jesus is doing there, it doesn't sound like he's having an easy time. He's not getting answers quickly, and he's not enjoying perfect peace, or he would just thank God and go to sleep. He might not even have all this sorted out by morning, but it's morning and it's time to start, and so he does, trusting God. We don't know what he prayed. That part is apparently not important. He needed something from God. There was a big day coming up, and he spent the night praying. He spent the night ahead of time praying to God. He did not quickly get whatever he thought he needed. He spent the night praying to God, and the day went as it should. 4. Prayer the Christ, death and resurrection. This is in Luke chapter 9. Prayer the Christ, death and resurrection. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke 9, 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" In Gethsemane, we read that Jesus was with just his disciples, and he separated himself about a stone's throw to pray alone. So we assume something like that's happening here, and that maybe that was a fairly common occurrence. So Jesus is with the 12, and then he goes, as far as you would throw a stone, away from them to pray alone for a little while. So Jesus was praying, and then he asked the disciples, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And then he asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ of God." And then Jesus told him that he must suffer many things and be killed and raised the third day. So it's a pretty big turning point happens there. We do not know, again, what Jesus was praying about. We do know that right after the prayer, Jesus took things up a notch with the disciples, a big step up in their understanding of him. He's the Christ. He's going to suffer much, be rejected, and then die, and be raised the third day. Was Jesus asking about this in his prayer? We don't know. Did God tell him, "It's time to take this to the next level"? We don't know. But we do know that he was praying, and that important things happened after he prayed. After he prays, he always serves God, and that's important. So we've looked briefly at 4 stories. Let's just think about this a bit. Jesus prays often. Once we heard about a whole night in prayer, but that seems unusual. How long he prayed does not matter. And in the gospel so far, what he prayed does not matter. He was in prayer regularly. It was not his response to something hard in his life that we know about. We never get that sense. His prayer led to serving God. His prayers were not about good things happening to him. His enemies got stronger and his disciples were just as dull. The stories all join his prayer to his service for God. He prayed, it seems, so he could serve. And past that, what he prayed has not mattered. That he was in prayer to God mattered a great deal. He prayed and then he served God. Tell us what you pray. Now we're going to look at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, a little more carefully. Tell us what you pray. One day, this is Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So John the Baptist also prayed a lot. And when John's disciples asked him how they should pray, they were asking John to tell them how he prayed so they could pray as John prayed. And John would, of course, have taught his disciples the kind of praying that he thought was important. So one time, when Jesus finished praying, his disciples wanted him to teach them about praying. When that happens, they meant, "Tell us what you were praying over there so we know how we should pray." Apparently, Jesus did not rush into that. They'd seen him praying quite a few times before they asked him this question, and Jesus just waited for that. The thing here, though, is that we should assume that this prayer, the prayer that follows, which is what we call the Lord's Prayer, was the normal way Jesus himself prayed. Pray like this. That's verses chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. For brevity, I'm going to shorten this prayer to what seemed to me the basics of the Lord's Prayer. I don't want to spend a lot of, we're touring lots of passages today. So, but anyway, here's what seems to me the core of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, your name, your kingdom, your will. To serve you, I need food, I need forgiveness, I need help forgiving others, and I need rescue from evil. Amen. This prayer starts with remarkable submission. When I pray, I find myself saying, Father, my kingdom is in trouble, so would you please do my will? Jesus said we should begin this begin prayer this way. Father, your name, your kingdom, your will, not mine, but yours. How much of Jesus praying do you think was Jesus trying to submit again, trying to make this about his Father and not about himself? Maybe the first half of his praying was always to sort that out again. Hebrews says that Jesus was made in every respect as we are, and that he was tempted in every respect as we are, and that he knows about weakness in the face of temptation and has great sympathy for our struggles with temptation. We should assume that Jesus often had considerable difficulty saying, Father, your name, your kingdom, your will. So, the prayer starts with remarkable submission, which I still struggle with, and most of my prayers don't begin this way. First, submission, and then, to serve you, Father, I need food, I need forgiveness. Jesus did not need to ask for that. I need help forgiving others, and that Jesus certainly needed. And I need rescue from evil, and that also Jesus certainly needed. Friend at midnight, not persistence. As now we'll just continue on. After the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells a story. The story teaches that a friend would never say no. Okay, that's the point of the story about the friend at midnight. A friend would never say no. Jesus begins the story, who of you, or which of you? Many translations mess up the beginning of the story, and they say, suppose someone. It doesn't begin, suppose someone. It begins, who of you? Who of you? And then the parable, in short, goes like this. Which of you, who of you would go ask your friend for bread in the middle of the night, and the friend would say no? Who of you would go ask your friend for bread in the middle of the night, and the friend would say no? And the answer is, no friend would do that, of course. No one in bed would do that to their friend. Even if your friend is grumpy, he would, of course, get up and give you what you need. And well, then, is the point Jesus makes, if your friend in bed would give you bread in the middle of the night, how much more will God give you what you need? You see, the friend would never say no. Which of you has a friend who would say no? Nobody. The parable is basically over by the end of verse 7. Who of you had a friend who would do that? Nobody. So if your friend wouldn't do that, even though you've been rude coming in the middle of the night and he's grumpy because it's the middle of the night, he will still do it. Well, then how much more will God give you what you need? And then the application comes in the next section, which says, God never says no. Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, this is Jesus applying the friend at midnight, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Okay, that's what the friend at midnight story taught about God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And then, in slightly different words, he says it all again. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Okay, Jesus has just said the same thing 6 different times. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's not complicated, and he's talking about prayer. This is all in line with the disciples teaching us to pray. And mostly, Jesus has teaches what they should pray in verses 2 to 4. But then verses 5 to 13 show them how eagerly God answers prayer. And then after those six, he says another story which makes the same point again. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Does God ever just say, no, I won't do that for you? No, that is never the whole story. Even when we're asking for the wrong thing, we never walk away with nothing. Folks, we never walk away with nothing. God never just says no. When we pray, he gives something good. That's why Jesus keeps going back. He never comes away with nothing. God never just says no. If a grumpy friend at midnight will give, if evil parents give good things to their children, how much more will God be generous with us? So, if he's not giving us what we want, what is he giving us? What is the Father giving? Can you guess? We actually just read the answer. Jesus told us. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, this is a surprise. And people, I don't really understand prayer. Don't ask me too much because I don't understand prayer very well. There's a lot of things I can't answer here. I'm just trying to listen to the Gospel of Luke. Jesus began this teaching in Luke 11 with the Lord's Prayer, and he ended with the Father generously giving the Holy Spirit. What if the answer to the Lord's Prayer is the Holy Spirit? What if when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Father, your name, your kingdom, your will, to serve you, I need food, I need forgiveness, I need help forgiving others, I need rescue from evil. What if what we're doing is really asking for the Holy Spirit? We just didn't know that. That's the way it sounds. What if when we want our troubles to go away and we pray and the troubles stay, and God is not answering, what if God thinks what this child really needs is more of the Holy Spirit so they can continue on? It's probably not that simple, but this section sounds like that to me. Persistent prayer. This is not in Luke, but it's something we need to talk about. There is a notion around that if we really want something from God, if we ask often enough, and if we mean it, we do it fervently, then eventually we will get it. Folks, okay, you get this? If we really want something from God, if we ask him often enough, and we mean it, we ask with passion, then eventually he will give it to us. Folks, that is pagan teaching. It is a big problem. There is nothing in this chapter or anywhere in Scripture that says any such thing. God is unbelievably generous. That's the whole point of verses 9 to 12, 9 to 13. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Don't think you will be heard for your many words. Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask. He does not need persuading." Listen, God can be served and trusted, but he cannot be managed. He cannot be managed. We cannot do a certain kind of praying, and he is obliged to do what we asked for. He is profoundly generous and eager to answer prayer, but he cannot be managed. He can be served and he can be trusted, and he never just says no, and we never walk away with nothing. It sounds like every time we pray, no matter what we ask for, God sends his Spirit to help us and build us up and encourage us. That's what it sounds like. And I'll bet you that's why Jesus kept leaving to pray. What did that feel like for Jesus? How did he know? We don't know that. All we know is that he kept trusting his Father and kept serving on him. Luke 18:1. Always pray and don't give up. When I return, will there be faith on earth? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then he told a story about the persistent widow and the unjust judge. God is not like the grumpy friend at midnight who would say no, and God is not like the unjust judge. God always says yes, and quickly. And that parable about the unjust judge, the widow and the unjust judge, ends with this surprising line from Jesus. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a striking line out of Jesus. At any stage, he sounds actually concerned, uneasy, anxious. He's going to be gone a long time. When he comes back, will there actually be any faith on earth at all? Now, let's put these two lines together, the line that began that parable and the line that ended it. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's assume those two are connected. I'm going to read it again. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? What does giving up mean in verse 1? They should pray and not give up. It does not mean give up asking and asking for that nice thing. It does not mean anything like that. Giving up means giving up on faith and giving up on serving God. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up on faith and on serving God. Because if they give up on prayer, their faith will not last. Because if they give up on prayer, their faith will not last. What should his disciples pray for exactly? In that opening line of the parable, that doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter in this parable again. In the opening line, God is not as concerned about what we pray as that we continue to pray. Don't give up on prayer. Praying the Lord's Prayer would be good. What we absolutely must not do is quit praying. Being in prayer, folks, my brothers and sisters, is how we keep our faith and keep serving God. Often in Luke, what we pray for exactly seems not to be the crucial thing. Jesus prayed much, but we're usually not told what he prayed, only that he was praying. Why? Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? If people will not give up on prayer, if they will keep praying, then there will be faith on earth when he returns. What we absolutely must not do is quit praying. Being in prayer is how we keep our faith and keep serving God. So people, be in prayer. Don't give up on prayer. How that will look exactly for each of us does not matter to Jesus. No rules are given. If I want to keep my faith and I want to live faithfully, I will find a way to pray. It's that simple. We usually don't know what Jesus prayed, but the result was always that he served God in some way. He stayed faithful to God. So when we pray, God never does nothing. He may not give us what we ask, but he never just says no. I believe that in many cases, when we are not getting what we asked for, God is giving the Holy Spirit to encourage us and comfort us and to strengthen us and give us endurance to stay faithful. God thinks often that is the best thing he could give the children that he loves. It is the act of pure generosity. Amen. Let's pray. O God, you have told us today. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. If a rudely awakened friend will give, O God, how much more will you? If evil parents like us give good things to our children, how much more will you? If a terrible judge can be moved to help, how much more quickly will you be moved to help? And, O God, you have encouraged us with these words. And we can tell God that you fear we will stop praying. And you know how confused and disappointed we sometimes feel about prayer. And we wonder why we bother. But our Lord has taught us today. Thank you for all the prayers we've prayed that you answered with something better than what we asked for. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And thank you that when we pray, you never just say no, and you never do nothing, and we never walk away with nothing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? In answer to our prayers, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may that God, in answer to our prayers, equip us with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what pleases him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.